Nick, the man who needs no introduction, but I'm going to give you an introduction anyways. You have probably more businesses than you have fingers at this point. You are running somewhere.com, which is just taking over as a recruiting agency right now. You've got probably $100 million in self-storage facilities. You've got time to be a good father. You got time to troll the internet when hundreds of millions of people see it. Of course you're coming here and you're sharing some ideas.
Let's do it, man.
And I wanted to do something a bit different. I want to get inside your brain around how you actually craft content that gets people ticking. And I don't know if you can just like open up a Google Doc and just start like typing out stuff and we can jam on it. However it works, I want people to listen to this and at the end of it, understand how you do it, how you're able to be in Athens, Georgia and get the entire planet to jump up with happiness or pain or do something. Do you think that works?
Let's do it, man. I think we can cover a lot quickly because my strategy is pretty simple. I mean, we all know the framework of great Twitter copy, but the mindset is a little bit different. And the mindset is that if you try to make every single person like you on the internet, if you are worried about what people think, if you have thin skin, it's impossible to do well. It really is, because if you try to make everybody love you, nobody will actually have an opinion on you at all, is the truth. So if you're not a little bit different, if you're not afraid to put yourself out there, and if you're afraid to look silly, then it's not for you, right? So I make myself look stupid sometimes, is the bottom line.
I'm gonna share my screen and I want to go through tweets and I want to just, we've never done this together. Like we've never.
You're talking some of the real bangers, the viral ones?
Yeah, why not? And okay. and also other people's tweets too, and just like what makes them great. Let's just go through it. I'm gonna share my screen. Can you see my screen?
I can.
Let's go to you for a second. Which tweet? Well, let's. I'm gonna go through maybe a few tweets, and you tell me which one you want me to stop at. I mean, this one has 720,000 impressions. Like, what were you thinking when you tweeted this?
So the structure, you can see it here. I make a statement that people say, oh, wow, that sounds unique. I'm not sure if I'd agree with it or not, but that's not like what I mostly hear. And yeah. That's that first line, okay? Then I spend the rest of the tweet taking a hard line on one side. So there's no nuance. There's no teasing out both sides. My structure is, hey, I'm going to say something, boom. What, you know, obviously there's nuance. Obviously there's two sides of it. Obviously it doesn't apply to everybody, but I'm going to act like it does. And I'm going to take a very strong side towards one of them. That's the structure of a great tweet. So something that not everybody agrees with, said as fact with conviction, and then a bunch of really strongly written copy to back it up. That's how almost all of my viral tweets are structured.
And how were you thinking about this reply second tweet?
It's a little small for me. Let's see here.
Don't buy into here. I'll actually make it bigger. Don't buy into this. Actually, can you see better now?
Yeah. So yeah. I just feel super passionate about this in general. Maybe it's because I live in the South. Maybe it's because I see a lot of people making the mistake of waiting too long to have children. And I'll read the tweet. My advice to 25-year-olds, get married young and have more kids than you can afford. That's the wow part of the tweet, right? Everybody reads that and they're like, whoa, that's the opposite of what I hear. I hear picking your spouse is like, you know, the most important decision you'll ever make. Be very careful about it. Be very deliberate in it. Be, you know, super thoughtful on it. And kids are super expensive and I need to be financially secure before I have kids. Like, so boom, the thing that Nick said at the very top is different than what a lot of people say. Then I go on to take a very hard side towards having more kids younger. I've never met anyone who wishes they'd had fewer kids. That's a super strong, unnuanced take supporting my first line. but I've met a lot of people who regret waiting so long or having so few. Every 60 plus year old that I know cares about one thing above all else, their kids and their grandkids. That is just a super powerful, convincing thing that's also super triggering to people who disagree with it.
And what percentage, like what percentage true is this tweet?
I pretty strongly believe, so look, it's geared towards my target person. Obviously, not everybody is in the situation where this applies to them.
Right.
There are people with mental issues, they're struggling with alcohol, they literally do not have their own life together, and they have no business getting married and trying to support a child. But I'm talking to the people who are like me, because that's the majority of people who follow me on the internet are competent people, 30 to 40 to 50 years old, who are kicking ass at their career. They're making money. They're into entrepreneurship. They're into business. And maybe they've just kind of forgot that, holy cow, kids are super important to live a rewarding life. Then I make the second tweet. Don't buy into the illusion of choice, because you hear the excuse all the time of guys and girls alike being like, I just want to travel. I want to get it out of my system. I want to go live my life and, you know, do all these things before I have kids. And I personally pretty strongly believe that that's bullshit, and it actually creates a bunch of bad habits that are really hard to break when you actually do want to settle down. So my second tweet, I just lean in. Don't buy into the illusion of choice. You know, don't buy into the lie that is getting it out of your system. If you travel and sleep around and do whatever you want for 20 years, it'll be even harder for you. Bad habits die hard. And that just, it just lights people up, right?
I think the strategy, by the way, of like double downing on your second line always hits hard.
Yep. Yeah. Catchy little intro. My advice to every 25-year-old. Okay. I'm going to read this because I want to know what Nick advises 25-year-olds. And then boom, a super strong controversial viewpoint. And then me taking one side, even though if I were in a conversation with somebody, you discuss the nuance. Like,
right.
we can discuss the nuance of this right now, that having kids is not right for everybody. But I do think a lot of people make this mistake. So my goal with this was to make people think twice about it.
Totally. And by the way, for this pod, like, it's okay. What we're talking about right now is how to create content that goes viral. So we're not talking about nuances and stuff like that. It's really just about how you're structuring it and what the insights are.
Right. Yeah. Nuance. The lesson here is that nuance does not go viral.
Yeah. Nuance does not go viral. All right. I'm going to continue scrolling and then let me know when I should stop.
Yeah. I'll scroll too.
Shh. Don't tell anyone, but I've got 30 plus startup ideas that could make you millions, and I'm giving them away for free. These aren't just random guesses. They're validated concepts from entrepreneurs who've built $100 million plus businesses. I've compiled them into one simple database, compiled from hundreds of conversations I've had on my podcast. But the main thing is, most of these ideas don't need a single investor. Some cost nothing to start. I'm pretty much handing you a cheat sheet. The Idea Bank is your startup shortcut. Just click below to get access. Your next cash flowing business is waiting for you. Oh, this is a good one, dude.
Okay.
Could you do this one?
Yeah. All you have to do is refuse video games until about the age of 16. Then your kids will be so far behind their friends, it won't be fun for them. They'll give up and focus on real life. Virtually no chance they'll grow old to spend 20 hours a week on a computer casting spells. It triggers all the people who sit around and play video games as a hobby, because it's true that video games, while they do add a lot of critical thinking skills and maybe people argue hand-eye coordination. I disagree with that, but they argue the benefits of it. I don't think they're very beneficial. So I took that hard line, and it frustrated and made angry a lot of gamers.
Yeah. And the reality is, you actually believe this, you know? And so it's like you're tweeting things that you believe, which I think is, whether I agree with you or not, like I actually disagree with you, but I know that you'd believe this because I remember texting some, you know, I was like, I played video games today, and you're like, well, basically why? But it's cool that we can still be friends and just have differing opinions, you know?
Yeah. I get a lot of messages. I get a lot of messages from people who support me and follow me and want to use my businesses. And the first thing a lot of them say to me is, Nick, I love your stuff and I don't agree with all of it.
Right.
I spark good conversations. I make smart people think critically about things. And obviously that what I think doesn't apply to everybody. So throw out the stuff that doesn't apply to you. But I guarantee you some of the stuff might strike home with you.
How important is putting numbers in tweets?
Yeah, I think I have this one tweet about a white Escalade. Like if you want to, if you can get really specific and it adds just a layer of humor, like 20 hours a week on a computer casting spells just adds a layer of humor to the thought of like somebody, it's somebody playing World of Warcraft. It's that, right. You picture that guy on South Park who's got his hand up on the desk and he's really obese and he's eating chips while he's beating Cartman and they're on all the friends at World of Warcraft, right? That's what you picture when you think of, you know, 20 hours a week casting spells. So I like to add a little bit of complexity. I have this one tweet about salespeople and driving a white Escalade. Like I love to hire salespeople who are paycheck to paycheck, but drive $120,000 white Escalade because they're super motivated to sell and they are highly determined to make it rain and they'll work super hard because they're cash strapped. And it's just funny because we all know a lot of salespeople like that.
Let's talk about Marshall. This one that you retweeted here. Why do you think this one blew up? Because it was 1.4 million.
I actually workshopped that with Marshall. So we worked on that one together because it's a promotion for somewhere.com. But I think that it's the same structure that we are talking about at the beginning. Okay, we have a line at the top is just the wow factor, right? Of like, I should read this. It's catchy. It's the hook. I sold my company for $52 million earlier this year. That's the first line that says, hey, drop what you're doing and read the rest of this tweet. Because in reality, somebody scrolling Twitter, you get an eighth of a second of their attention. You have to realize that. Like they are selfishly scrolling Twitter being like, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? What can you do for me? Are you going to make me laugh? Are you going to strike my emotion or are you going to teach me something? Those are the three things. Are you going to make me laugh or be entertaining in some way? Or are you going to teach me something? So you're trying to stop them in their tracks with that very first line. Just like my advice to every 25-year-old. Oh, I might want advice because I might have a kid who turns 25 or I just might be interested in this. Boom, Marshall's. I sold my company for $52 million. Not very many people have done that. I'm going to read. I'm going to give it more than an eighth of a second. I'm going to give it 4 seconds. So now you have 4 seconds. And it's the controversial part, right? My secret weapon. I had 2 Americans on my team and 150 plus international folks at the time of the sale. Wow. Not only was this a remote company, but 1% of his employees were US based and 99% of his employees were overseas. Finance, ops, sales, and then the rest of it were selling, right? We're telling people what Somewhere offers. Finance people, operations people, sales people, developers, even executives. And then bang, this is the catchy one, all for 80% less than US talent. You can do this too. Here are 7 people ready to hire today. That tweet got 1.4 million impressions and it drove 100 plus leads to somewhere.com and it was worth $250,000 of marketing for us. And it was
insane. Free. Insane. That's crazy. And you did something else that was really smart here, which is you could have just put hire salespeople for $1,800 a month, but you did this. Can you explain why?
Yeah, we made it so that these people can see and like hear the voice of who they could potentially hire. Because everybody, a business owner thinks, oh, I might hire somebody abroad. And they think of what they get on the phone when they talk to a Filipino who works for Bank of America. And they're like, damn, I really hope this person can actually help me, but it's unlikely. They're going to forward me around a call tree and it's going to be kind of tough because corporate America has trained us to think a certain type of person who works overseas. But if you play Keegan's video, he sounds like us. He sounds like an American. So yeah, it's really pretty cool. So when they see that and they feel it, it hits different and it sells much more effectively.
Yeah, and the platforms are optimized more for video now, so I think it also just, you know, you're feeding the beast, the algorithm beast as well.
You mentioned something that's so important.
Actually, like,
this is really hard because Twitter is changing so fast. And I think Elon knows what he's doing, and he's chasing engagement, chasing daily active users, and it's going to point him towards a TikTok, Instagram type model. So I'm worried that we're going all video over time on Twitter. So it's kind of scary for guys like me. What do you think?
Well, I agree. Just because the ad dollars are also in video, but you seem to be like leaning into video right here. Like this is working. Like I don't see many videos that have 700 likes. What did you do here? Did you script this out? How important is the background? Walk me through your thinking on this one.
Yeah, so I recorded a 52-second video. Can you scroll just the very beginning of it so I can read that?
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what I filmed and what I said in this video. Oh, yeah, I'm saying repeat after me. I will keep it simple. I will copy what works. And we're going to talk about this in the second half of our episode, which is maybe a pretty cool transition. But yeah, my video is the exact same thing. It's catchy because I have, when somebody's scrolling Instagram or Twitter, I have 1 second of their attention. So I have to catch it right away. So let me tell you my advice to every entrepreneur in this world. Copy what works. I will do boring things. I will, avoid what's sexy. I'll stop chasing everything that everybody else is chasing in the world. And I'm going to simplify it. And I'm going to do boring things. And the people who have succeeded in entrepreneurship, most of them can really relate to that. So that's why it took off.
Very cool. All right, let's do one or two more bangers. Maybe this one. Three names you never share.
Yeah. I just have I wouldn't say it's a natural gift to be funny with word or anything. I don't know if it's funny, but it does hook. So yeah, three names you never share: your babysitter, your house cleaner, and your attorney. I've learned my lesson on all three, and it's just funny. This is a funny tweet because you cannot share your babysitter in the group chat, or you will not be able to secure your babysitter next Friday when you need your babysitter.
And you know, someone's probably listening to this and thinking like, why is Nick posting this? How is this going to actually make his businesses better? So, you know, what's the ROI of a tweet like this?
I think it's a mix, right? Most of my tweets are just trying to get smart people to think. Maybe there's some entertainment. Maybe there's some personal stuff to get people to know me. And then there's trying to get smart people to think more critically about something. And if I can get smart people and entrepreneurs to follow me, then when I post a tweet like the one Marshall tweeted about international talent, I'll be able to get $250,000 worth of business in the door that way. So it's just a constant process of trying to get attention, trying to add value, trying to make smart people think critically about something. And then you ask. It's the Gary V jab, 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 right hook. And the right hook is the ask. Hey, let's do business. Pay me money for recruiting services or whatever.
Yeah, it does really prime the algorithm. So if you do hit like a banger like this, gets 1,000 likes, your next tweet, and maybe it's a lead magnet, maybe it's something else, but it does work more.
You'll notice it. Like if you click at somebody's tweet on Twitter, you're going to see another one of their tweets the next time you open the app and start scrolling. But if you scroll right by four people's tweet, you know, one person's tweet four times, you'll see that the app will realize, hey, I don't want to see Nick anymore because you just scrolled past five of his ideas. So I'm not going to show you his next couple. So it really does prime the algorithm. And your next tweet after a really high engagement tweet will get a lot of engagement. So you can use that to your advantage.
Okay, I want to do this last one from you. And then after this, I want you to pick one creator and we're going to like kind of look at one or two of their posts.
Okay. Nikita's a genius copywriter, so I pick him.
Cool. This football one, what were you thinking when you tweeted this?
I just talk a lot about how I think football is brutal on the brain and I'm not going to let my kids play it. And then I just see a kid here get laid out and obviously concussed as a 5-year-old, and it's sickening. So just spreading, just trying to spread. I don't have an agenda for engagement with this one. I'm literally trying to talk other 35-year-olds like me to not let their sons play football.
Right. Totally. I will also say, like, the quote retweet, this is like a, it does work a lot in the algorithm these days. You find something, and then you can just, you know, add your POV on top of it, and a lot of times it goes viral.
Yep.
You know who's good at that? Levels.io. I don't know if you follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Levels.
Yep.
But he's a massive quote retweeter. So he, like, probably about 20% to 30%, actually maybe more, is him just quote retweeting, and he gets massive engagement.
Yeah, he has the same strategy as me. I think he has a lot of people who totally dislike him because he has what some people would call radical views, just like I do. But he stands behind his actual opinion, and he's done the work to build his own opinions. So I think he also gains a lot of respect. So I think it's been a massive part of him building his brand, is to not being afraid to ruffle some feathers.
Totally. Yeah. He went on the Lex Fridman podcast and basically talked about PHP, and like, this is a language that not many people sort of write in, and he writes in it, and it's just, it's a dividing thing to say that just like, oh yeah, just build something in PHP. So I think he believes the stuff, but he also does it to ruffle some feathers.
For sure.
Quick ad break. Let me tell you about a business I invested in. It's called boringmarketing.com. So a few years ago, I met this group of people that were some of the best SEO experts in the world. They were behind getting some of the biggest companies found on Google. And the secret sauce is they've got a set of technology and AI that could help you outrank your competition. So for my own businesses, I wanted that. I didn't want to have to rely on Mark Zuckerberg. I didn't want to depend on ads to drive customers to my businesses. I wanted to rank high in Google. That's why I like SEO, and that's why I use boringmarketing.com, and that's why I invested in it. They're so confident in their approach that they offer a 30-day sprint with 100% money-back guarantee. Who does that nowadays? So check it out. Highly recommend boringmarketing.com. Okay, so this one,
Elon Musk. Nikita's work on Twitter has just been unbelievable. I mean, he writes so well. His copy is so good. Like, if you want to study copywriting, forget me. Look at Nikita. Look at the way he structures. Obviously, it's impossible to remake what Nikita does because he's so clever with his jokes. Not everybody is like has the mind of a comedian. But he's also brilliant when it comes to building consumer apps. So he's built this reputation online where he is the guy to go to in the tech community when it comes to virality and consumer apps. So he has just massive, massive respect. Like, here we have Elon, like, obviously following Nikita. I would not be surprised if those two get dinner soon. it's just leveling up his entire career because of the reputation that he's built on Twitter, which is just, it's awesome to see. I'm so happy for him.
100%. Yeah, this is just so good. A lot of his stuff is like it's like not a lot of words too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't do any threads or a couple threads, but most of them, and he's the perfect mix of like, hey, I'm going to show you how serious I am and how good I am when it comes to building consumer apps with a really thoughtful thing to say. Like on September 17th, which is yesterday, he tweeted about seeding an app with users. Like, he just gave a really good insight for people who are actually building apps and to get a really valuable following of actual entrepreneurs. And then right after that, it's a huge joke about how aggressive Europeans are about sexual advances. And if they put an emoji in a tweet, that means they're coming on to you. Only Nikita can follow up a tweet about seeding an app with users with, hey, here's how Europeans are coming on to you in a tweet, in a message. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, homie's got range for sure.
Absolutely.
I'm going to put together just some takeaways. I'll probably put in the comment section on YouTube around just like how to tweet like Nick, how to tweet like Nikita. Cool. Well, Nick, thanks for taking us through your mind there.